Okay, so we'll call the meeting back to order, the regular meeting of Los Osos Community Services District. So we'll reconvene to open session. Can we go ahead and have the pledge, please? Lou, could you lead us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, so with that then, we'll go ahead and have moved item number 6, the report out of closed session. District Legal Counsel Hanley.
There was no reportable action taken in closed session tonight.
Thank you. Okay, so now we're at item number 8, which is public comment for items not on the agenda. If you have something that's within our jurisdiction but not on today's agenda, it's your opportunity to make a statement here.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I wanted to comment on the New Times story today about Los Osos CSD splits with another general manager. And I thought this might be kind of fun. Fun for who, I don't know, but fun. Los Osos Community Services District general managers, Pavel Ogren, Bruce Buell, Daniel Blesky, Karen Vega, Anna Jane Hugh, John Schempf, Mitch Cooney, Dan Gilmore, Mitch Cooney, Sandy Woods, Susan Morrow, Margaret Faulkner, Kathy Kively, Margaret Faulkner, Peter Campa. 15 general managers. The story, Marshall, you're quoted. And it says that Campa has completed the tasks we hired him to do, and we're moving forward now. While Mr. Campa managed the district, he was able to hire a consultant to get somewhere with our finances. But what he... And the reason I bring this up is at our Emergency Services Committee meeting on Tuesday, we had an item that was to look at our reserve schedule and our fund balance, and not one person in the room could understand the report. This is that same report that your board looked at on the 15th of September that had red writing and parentheses, which was backwards from what we all went to school and learned, that numbers in red and numbers with parentheses means deficit. So while I'm personally okay that Mr. Campa's gone, I don't believe that the work is done. And the concerns I have going forward relate to the projections of what it's going to take, how long this district can last on the revenues that we get today. How long could we last with what's coming in, what's going out, what our reserves actually are before we have to raise rates? That projection was asked for by the Finance Committee as far back as February of this year. That analysis has not been done. So we're not out of the woods. And I look forward to the next chapter.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you. Any other comment on items not on the agenda? Okay. Oh, Lindy. Just walked in.
Good evening. I'm still finishing my dinner. sorry. Didn't have a chance to attend the special closed meeting before, but I understood that we were going to be looking for a part-time manager. So I'll just throw it out there. I don't understand the need for a full-time manager at this point unless they're also an accountant. So I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Seeing any other comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. For items not on the agenda, we'll bring it back for the administrative committee reports. I see that the fires must be under control because you're back. So the fire department report is first.
Good evening. My name is Tom McEwen. I'm battalion chief for Battalion 11 in the South Bay Fire Department. Tonight I'd like to present the fire department report for the month of August of 2016. In the month of August, Station 15 responded to 108 calls total. Six of those calls were simultaneous calls, and four of those simultaneous calls required advanced life support. The rest of our calls, we had 83 medical aids, 51 of them required advanced life support. We sent a firefighter into the hospital with the ambulance just one time in the month of August. We had five traffic collisions, three fires, 15 public service assists, and seven other emergencies. Company 15 was called in to cover the station a total of seven times. So our month is looking pretty normal, what we usually do. No big changes in our calls. Administratively wise, Medic Engine 215 is still in the shop, and I noticed on your report it says Emergency Vehicle Group in Anaheim, and that's not correct. It's at a Cal Fire's North County shop, and all the work that's being done on Engine 215 is being done under the Schedule A contract. And so it continues to be worked on with its electrical issues and trying to get the Code 3 equipment back in service. We had hoped to see it back this week, but I was informed yesterday that the brand new light bar arrived and courtesy of the trucking company had two large forklift holes in it, and now we have to order a new one. And so we're going to be set back about a month to a month and a half to get a new light bar. Conveniently, I guess the trucking company will be paying for that light bar. So Medic Engine 215 is going to probably be delayed one more month, and we're going to continue to use Engine 212 in the duration, and that's been given to us by the county. Other than that, our special programs for the month of August, we're getting ready for the Fire Safety Fair, and I'd sure like to invite everybody to come out to the Fire Safety Fair to meet your firefighters and see our demonstrations of what we're going to do. It's going to be on October 8th, 2016. It'll be from 11 a.m. to 3 in the old Rite Aid parking lot. So it's our annual fair, and we'd sure like to, for everyone to come out and say hi and give a little idea of some of the demonstrations, meet your firefighters, and the things that we do out there. There'll be lots of folks out there. We'll have a San Luis ambulance. The Sheriff's Department will be out there with their search and rescue team. And we've still got a few more RSVPs, but we hope to have three or four other groups out there with us. So this year, as we're starting into October, which is, of course, the Fire Prevention Month. And for this Fire Prevention Month, the overall theme for the fire services across the United States is a focus on smoke alarms and talking to people about getting smoke alarms into your homes. But not just into your homes, but smoke alarms into your bedrooms, smoke alarms outside, all the living spaces, and one in each room, all interconnected. Smoke alarms save lives, there's no question about it, and that's our focus for this Fire Prevention Month, is to try to get people to get more smoke alarms into their homes. Our only other issue that we've been working on is under fire prevention, and we finally finished the last 12 lots in the weed abatement issue, and so now only one lot actually was referred to law enforcement for action. Everybody else we were able to take care of by going out and having meetings and talks and so on and so forth. So we've gone through it one time, and it did take us a lot more man hours, and it seems like the man hours are increasing every year. And we may be looking at some different ways to manage that in the future where we're not burning as much personnel hours. So that's the report for this month. Any questions?
Thank you. I just had one comment to piggyback on something you said. I did not realize this, but when your lateral gets hooked up to the sewer, as part of the building inspection that goes on, you have to confirm that you do have the fire detectors in the bedrooms, which I think is a good thing. So I think that helps communicate that to the members of the public, because everybody that I've talked to about that didn't know about that requirement until they hooked up to the lateral.
Yeah, it's one of those things you tie into when you do so much work, you have to start meeting the new codes.
Right. So I think that's it. Yeah, I think that's a good way. We'll be pushing the fire safety fair all night, so don't worry about
that. All right,
well,
we appreciate it.
Okay, so with that, then, we'll move to the utility department report. I know Margaret's in Texas, so. Okay. So does anybody have any questions about it? Anybody want to comment on it?
My only real questions are with the well log summaries, and I'll wait until Margaret gets back to fill in some of the blanks. And I see that consumption is back up slightly. I don't know if that's due to construction. There's so much construction going on now, compaction and that kind of thing. But it looks like revenues are up even more, and that means that those recent rate increases are doing what they were supposed to do.
Anything else?
No.
Okay, legal counsel report.
Just briefly, in between meetings, I had one query about whether or not the district has adopted a resolution providing workers' compensation for volunteers. We did look. We couldn't find a resolution, so I could have some direction from the board if that's something you'd like me to bring back on a future agenda.
Well, I'd like that. That has to do with the CERT program, the Community Emergency Response Team, and I think it has to also, I think, fold into our liability.
Yeah, what it does, if you adopt a particular type of resolution, which is a standard form that's been used throughout the state, then the volunteers are covered by the workers' comp program. Workers' compensation, it's a two-edged sword. Because if you're covered by workers' comp, that means pretty much injury is presumed to be cause of the work, and you get the recovery. The recoveries in workers' comp are rather meager. That's what I meant by the two-edged sword. But it would provide that type of coverage for your volunteers.
Okay. Good. I'm sorry. We'll go to the advisory council. Vicki, you'll be giving today's report?
I will.
Okay.
As you all do, we get reports in LOCAC from various groups in town, and we usually start with Sheriff Taylor, who gave the call types and the respective numbers for the last 2 months. The interesting news is that the department is training 10 deputies. If no one washes out, they will be fully staffed in this patrol division, and it's been quite a while since that's happened. IRS phone scams have been continued in the county, something that I didn't know. And I think most people in the room didn't know, is if you have suffered an economic loss, meaning you responded to the IRS scam phone call and went somewhere and paid some money, you can report this to 781-4550. I'll say that again, 781-4550. That's a local phone number to report these things. Non-economic loss reports are gathered by station via online reports, and if enough are gathered, there will be a press release. He also outlined the steps to form a community watch, which can be found on the sheriff's website. Carrie Brown, the planner for Los Osos, reported on the community plan update and the habitat conservation plan. The community plan should be available in January of 2017. Staff is working on the draft EIR, that's the environmental impact report for it. The public hearing draft should be available in April 2017, and the hearings for that should be held in May or June 2017. It's likely that the Planning Commission will have up to 4 hearings on it, and when it's approved, then it will go to the Board of Supervisors. The Habitat Conservation Plan needs both federal and state reports, which entails an environmental assessment and an EIR. The HCP should be ready in January 2017 as well. The oil train proposal at the Planning Commission will be heard again on October 5th, and we found out from the newspapers that it was turned down. Supervisor Gibson was not present, nor was a representative for him. Steve, I won't give you a report. I had it in my notes. Okay. We had two agenda items. The first one was a proposed lot line adjustment to consolidate golf course facilities into two parcels. That was pulled from the agenda at the request of the applicant. We're talking about Sea Pines. And should be on the LOCAC agenda for this month's meeting. The second project we were reviewing is a requested minor use permit, coastal development permit, to allow the establishment of equestrian facilities, including boarding stables, keeping more than 30 horses, and therapeutic riding for disabled children and individuals. There will be special events associated with the equestrian facility. Those are riding clinics with up to 12 events per year. The establishment of a rail car bridge over Los Osos Creek to replace a washed out culvert and conversion of an ag exempt barn to farm support quarters. So there are essentially two parts to the project, the bridge over the road and the horse facilities and their use. The bridge is a community benefit. And I was charmed to find out that when they talk about train car bridges, that they really are putting two side-by-side train cars into the culvert. Without that, the road is impassable in rainy weather. Cal Fire does not want to pay for the bridge, so the owner is going to. And the creek is an environmental mess with a track through it because people drive in and around even onto her property. So we had some questions. They were answered to our satisfaction. And Carrie told us that there will be conditions placed on the project from other agencies before it can be approved. And LOCAC will be notified if a new minor use permit is created. A motion was made and seconded to recommend LOCAC's approval for this project and was passed unanimously. Actually, it's not LOCAC's approval. It's the planning department's approval. Questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you. Steve, you're up. It's nice how Vicki deferred to you, so puts the pressure on you now.
Yeah, right. Good evening. I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Spaywood Park Chamber of Commerce. Going on right now, it's a two-day event. The grocery outlet is holding a hiring fair, and the second day tomorrow is from 3 to 7 p.m., and it's held right across the street in the chamber office. So that's for the grocery outlet. And while I'm talking about the grocery outlet, their ribbon cutting will be 10 a.m. Thursday, November 10. And both the Los Osos Chamber of Commerce and Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce will be there. The grocery outlet's going to donate a $1,000 food pallet donation to a local food bank. There'll be also a complimentary luncheon. Then on Saturday, November 12, that's the grand opening, 8 a.m., first 100 customers in line receive 25% off coupons. Must be 18 or older. And they're also going to give free eco-friendly bags to the first 500 customers in line. From 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., free spin and win on the Wheel of Bargains. And then you can enter for the grand prize drawing of $1,000 worth of grocery outlet gift cards. So that's November 10 and November 12. The Chamber Mixer is tomorrow also, and that's going to be held at the Village Children's Center, which is behind the Trinity Methodist Church, corner of LOVR and Pine, and that's 5:30 to 7 o'clock. End of the month is a big one for the Chamber, Oktoberfest. It's our 38th annual, with 11th annual car show, and it's going to be held again on 2nd Street in Baywood Park. Admission is free. We just added another band, the Mud Skippers. I think the Mud Skippers actually practice right here in this building. So we have Burning James, Mother Corn Shuckers, Mama Tumba, and the Mud Skippers. Should be a fun day. It's not too early to start thinking about the Christmas parade, December 10, 10 a.m. You can get a float in for $25. It's going to go across the, go down the regular route that it has been, down Los Osos Valley Road and in right here at Palisades, which kind of segues right into, there's a event here for people helping people, right? For needs and wishes, so be sure to stop by and help them. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions? Nope. Okay. Yes. So I will. You're done, unless you want to stay up there. John Eric has asked that I put Parks and Rec up, even though he doesn't have a report. So,
I don't have a report, but I wanted to let everybody know that we're continuing to collect the surveys on the park study. They're continuing to come in by email and in the district office, and I really appreciate everybody that's worked on those and submitted those. And there will not be a Parks and Rec meeting this month while our staff is in transition. But please continue to turn those surveys in, and I'm going to continue to collect them, and I plan to report to my committee on that in November, and hopefully we'll have something to bring back to the board then.
Thank you. So that gave you a little extra time to think about your Utility Advisory Committee report.
Gee, thanks. Okay, thanks. Yeah, it was a short meeting on the 14th. We had a light turnout as far as membership of the committee. The main thing was a discussion about the Barnett and Cox contract and the scope of work. The consensus was to try to get a little more information onto the billing as far as being able to link up to the Facebook page that we have on water conservation and see if we can get a little more activity on that. And the intent is to bring it back in a few months and, again, take a look at it and see if it's still worthwhile or not. We got an update on the 8th Street well. As far as the problem we had with it is up and running. They were able to repair it. Had to do with the casement. Had sprung essentially a leak, and it was causing a reduction in production, so that's up and going. 3rd Street is still down due to the chromium issue, and there was some discussion about the possible use of having to retest it with different labs, see if there's another way to, we're very close to being in compliance, or some other options. And that's pretty much that end of my report. Any questions? Okay, thank you.
No questions? Okay, Finance Advisory Committee meeting. We met on Monday. We're going back to our regular monthly meetings, which will be the Monday before the board meeting. That gives us the best opportunity to look at the financial reports. If we hold it any earlier than that, the financial information isn't really done. So we had, I thought, a really, really good discussion about how the committee could best get information that would be useful for them to advise and give recommendations to the board. So Ann worked with us really, really closely. She's working with the accounting firm right now to get us the reports in the format that would be most helpful and useful to both the committee and the board. We had a good discussion about the time payments on the warrants and that. And then we had the same discussion about the register, how it would be most productive to put that information forward. And then secondly, just to make sure that when funds are being shown as taken out of an enterprise fund account, that there's a matching entry to show where they're going. And then we talked briefly about the administrative allocation, which is something that I know John Eric had raised about. We want to get looking at that before we do our mid-year look at our budget. And so one of the things we talked about and that we think is going to be a doable kind of thing is just where on some, I don't want to say random, but on there will be sampling of time cards so we can have a sampling of what people are doing. Obviously, we're not going to be having everybody spend all their time documenting every single minute that they work and what they do it on, but we feel like it's important if we do some sampling of how their timesheets are, so at least then we can see how close or how far we are off on the administrative allocation. So that's something that Ann and I have talked about that staff's going to start working on to get us some sampling for that. We have two accountant bookkeepers on our committee, so I think their input is really, really helpful. That's Lisa and Sherry. So I thought it was a good meeting. So the next thing that we have coming up is we're looking at having the joint meeting with the Utility Advisories Committee. We had that kickoff meeting a few months ago to talk about how we were going to move into the future as far as what priorities would be, et cetera. So my committee talked a little bit about that. Utility Advisory is going to talk about it. So we're going to go ahead and set up that joint meeting so we can all get together in the same room, the two committees, and talk about priorities and ways to move forward. Finding a date is going to be the difficult thing right now at this point, but we are, Ann is working on trying to determine dates where that's going to occur. So I think that was, I actually thought it was a very, very productive meeting. So so I don't know if anybody has any questions about that. Chuck, did you? Okay, Basin Management Committee.
Could we maybe go back to the overlooked emergency services meeting that happened Tuesday?
I guess we can add that to the agenda. It's not here.
It did happen.
Okay.
And as Julie pointed out, maybe it it happened, but it not much happened. I don't know why these revenue summaries in our packet today are so understandable when the financial information we had at the Emergency Services Committee meeting, it resembled the things we've seen in the past, where parentheses mean positive numbers and red is black and other things too. So we kind of postpone that discussion until we can get the new GM on board and just get things around to a point where the committee feels like there's value in meeting. There is one thing that did come out of that, though, that we're going to have to agendize soon. I think before we get into, you know, rate structures and having ad hoc committees work on that kind of thing, too, and that is the property tax issue that we've talked about again and again and again. Mr. Campa gave us the presentation at the last meeting, and it was basically the same recitals that we've heard in the past, which doesn't really fly with some of the work that John Eric did looking at LAFCO and the formation of the district. And we need to decide what we're going to do with those monies. And if they're not going to be in the water department revenues, they need to know that before that ad hoc committee starts work. We need to know where it's going to go so that fire budget can be adequately prepared. And maybe we need a legal counsel opinion on just whether or not we can do that, how we can do that. We seem to be pretty well in agreement that we can. And so I'd like that agendized. And that's about it for emergency services.
Okay.
Well, I want to back that up, too. I think that we definitely, everything can, is contingent upon us knowing what we can do with our property tax. It comes in segmented, and right now we do allocate it out to the different departments based on that. But can we, as a board, have total control over the allocation process? I think that's what we need a legal opinion on before we can get into any kind of rates, any kind of, because it's impacting every department.
Okay. All right, so now back to Basin Management Committee. I like how you bought me some time on that one, so I didn't have back to back. Basin Management Committee, we met on the 21st of September. We had a good meeting to follow up on what Vicki said with her LOCAC presentation. We had a good discussion about input into the basin, or pardon me, input by the Basin Management Committee into the community plan and the timing. Carrie was there from county planning, and we were talking about how we future development or growth could or might be able to occur and what the triggers may or may not be, and to make sure that before any future development took place that there was substantial evidence that the seawater intrusion had subsided and actually reversed. And committee member Garfinkel gave a really awesome presentation on climate change and the impact of that on our water supply as far as the rainfall. And he went back. He did a really good job. I think everybody that was there was really, really impressed with the PowerPoint presentation that he prepared. So he did a really, really good job showing where our historic rainfall was, what it has been over the last 5 years, last 30 years, what the median has been, the mean, et cetera. So it was good input. So the committee gave some direction to Rob Miller on what type of input we'd like to have into the community plan and how we would like to have definitive criteria before any additional development could occur. So I thought that was a good discussion. Then we got a presentation by county staff on the salt and nutrient management plan elements, which is something that I didn't know anything about until it was brought up. But apparently with wastewater and recycled plant projects, they are now required to do this salt and nutrient management plan. And so we got to see all about it and learn what it was, and the county's in the process of preparing it right now for the recycle plant. That was really the primary things we talked about. The other thing we talked about is funds available for conservation measures, because it's something that's high on the Basin Management Committee's list of things to do. Apparently, we were told by county council and by Supervisor Gibson that they did go out and talk to the people where the funding had come from, like the water board, et cetera, and that there were strings attached to that, that they could not be used for anything other than implementation or hard construction funds, and they couldn't be used for conservation. So we gave some direction to Rob to look into that a little bit more and come back to us at our next meeting on what other areas there may be funds available to help the Basin Management Plan or Basin Management Committee with conservation measures, such as flood control district monies or other funds that might be available in the short term. In the long term, that's a whole other issue. So we spent a significant amount of time talking about that. We got an update from county staff that our boundaries were denied, the boundary modifications were denied, so we're going to live with the old boundaries that were based on surveyors back in the 1800s wandering around and not be able to rely on the GPS. But I guess what we were told is that's what they've done for all of the boundary modification requests. They just blanketly said no. So something we're still continuing to work on as we move forward. I thought it was a very, very productive meeting. I know, Chuck, do you have anything?
Yeah, two things. I guess the offshoot of that failure to get the basin boundary adjustment done is that there are people with private wells outside of the adjudication basin that are going to have to be involved in some kind of groundwater management agency group, because everybody's covered by the requirements of SGMA, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. So if you're not in the adjudicated area, you're going to be part of the process. And the other thing, to follow up on Mr. Garfinkel's awesome presentation, one thing that directly resulted from that is the fact that we're going to get an NEP grant to pay for modeling or rerunning the models for our sustainable yield for the basin based on lower rainfall totals. Because, as Bill pointed out, we haven't been meeting the 17 or so inches that was the target used for the model in the basin plan. And so we're actually going to get some recalibration of that model. And I thought that was a direct result of Garfinkel's presentation. And thanks, Bill.
No, I had overlooked that. I guess the last two things that came up was, and I'm pushing this and pushing this and pushing this, is repurposing of septic tanks. I still don't understand why people don't get this clean and seal option, but I know we talked about it, Chuck, and you got up and explained that for $80 you could get a pump and it's not that big of a deal. But I would encourage people that have not hooked up to the sewer system yet to either repurpose their tanks, and all you have to do is have it flushed and sanitized, or if you're not ready to repurpose it right now, just go ahead and have it pumped, flushed, sanitized, and sealed, and then you'll have it available at some future date. So the statistics that I checked on, there's still about 23-24% of people are repurposing. The remainder are just demolishing it. So I would, again, encourage everybody, repurpose if you can. And last thing is that Supervisor Gibson mentioned that Broderson is getting recharged for the first time. So they're finally generating enough water from the plant that they can actually transport water to Broderson. So, well, as they start to increase the amount of recharge water, that we'll get more data on actually what's happening up there. But they have finally started recharging up there. I talked way too much, I'm sorry, because I had a sore throat last time and I didn't talk at all, so I made up for it this time. Okay, so outside events, anything?
I have two things. I monthly go to the CAPSLO board meetings, have been for 2 years, and my two-year term is up with them. They asked me to re-up, of course, and I guess with your approval, I will still be the representative to CAPSLO for the public agency representative spot. I should mention that CAPSLO, for those of you who don't know, they are the nonprofit agency who handles federal grants for the Migrant and Head Start Farm Workers programs, veterans programs, low-income energy assistance programs, a ton of programs, $70 million in federal grants through that nonprofit. And they give services from San Diego through Monterey over to Modesto County. And recently were awarded an award of excellence on a national scale. There's a handful of nonprofits that are so acknowledged. And so CAPSLO got that. It was a three-year process of upping your documentation, of your training for the board members. And I mean, every once in a while, I have to give up a Saturday to go to governance training and that kind of thing. So hats off to CAPSLO. The other thing is I went to the RAC meeting yesterday, and they had a short presentation of a longer presentation in the morning at the Vets Hall on geophysical means of mapping water basins and using electrical conductivity and magnetic fields. And there's three different ways. You can either actually physically put metal rods in the ground, wire them all together. You can use a helicopter to fly. Or you can use available satellite data, which is free to download. It's just that you got to find one of the five people in the world who know how to interpret that kind of thing. But they've done the whole Monterey Bay area with this, and that's where a lot of the saltwater intrusion data up there comes from. This is a professor from Stanford who is doing this. And the application just looked like it would be a marvelous way to really understand saltwater intrusion in our basin. I know the Basin Management Committee is talking about a new monitoring well near Cuesta Inlet, and I'm wondering if the cost of a well would be more worthwhile spent on having this helicopter come out and really, I mean, the pictures from Monterey just showed little fingers for every well that drew salt water in. So you had a really, really good map of the basin. It was a fascinating presentation, and I'm going to have to hit more RAC meetings, I think. And that's it.
Thank you. Any other outside committees? I got two, so. Okay, estuary program. I'm the chair of the executive committee. We had an interesting meeting because we're talking about redoing our goals for the estuary program. So we had a really good session going over. We did a SurveyMonkey poll of our members as to what they thought was important, what they thought was not important, or what they weren't even aware that we had responsibilities to do. So we gave direction to staff to come back with us at our next meeting about things that we can do to make the estuary program even better. So we got an A-plus pat on the back from EPA for our annual report, so that was really, really good. So last but not least, the Special Districts Association for the county. I'm also the chair of that, apparently. No, I am. We had our meeting, Jim Bergman. This was our bi-monthly meeting to have presentation by the planning director. So Jim Bergman, the planning director for the county, was there. We spent a little bit of the time talking about, a lot of the time talking about the Los Osos community plan update in the context of all the other community plan updates, how the county is proceeding forward on those. And then we spent some time talking about ways that the county, both planning and public works, are going to be looking at encouraging growth, for lack of a better term, to include as infill and then where there are adequate resources available for that growth to occur. So we spent a lot of time talking about that. So that was a good session. I thought it was good. So that's it. All right. Any other questions? Okay, so we now have the consent agenda. Before we go to public comment, does anybody want to pull an item off the consent agenda?
F.
So we'd like to have item 11F pulled. Does anybody else want to pull anything else at this point? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go ahead and pull item 11F to the end of the agenda. Actually, what I'm going to do is put it as the first hearing item. I think that's because we'll take that as a first hearing item, if that's okay with you. All right, so we'll take right now public comment on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda items except for item 11F, which we'll have a separate hearing.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I just want to say about the Barnett Cox. I believe Barnett Cox is like $650 a month to manage Facebook, and they don't even post like daily. So really, what are you getting for your money? And so many times there's factual errors, typos. I could go on. I don't want to. I don't want it to go on. Marshall, you missed item 9J. And then I thought we were going to see committee minutes coming back into the packet, and they're not here. With regard to the property tax issue, Mr. Campa's presentation is mentioned in the minutes, but if you recall, nobody had any questions. Nobody had any anything to say. I personally felt like I'd heard it before, and I was in disagreement with it, and it wasn't worth my time, knowing that Mr. Campa was moving on probably in the near term. I've asked that you do get a legal opinion on it. I hate that legal opinions generally cost some money, but when Alex Handler from Bartle Wells came a couple of years ago and did the rate study, there was an assumption in that rate study that property tax would continue to subsidize the water department. And when, in my mind, when you say assume, that means you have a choice that money may not stay in that fund or continue to go to that fund. The other interesting thing was at committee level, Mr. Campa also explained how, because we all have trepidation over how the administrative allocations are working throughout the budget, and he explained that in some districts, they can take all property tax into the administrative fund, and then the administrative fund divvies it out accordingly. So in my mind, he was arguing two things that were polar opposites of each other, in that we could do it this way or we can do it the way we're doing it. But somehow we couldn't, didn't have the discretion to stop the subsidy to water. And so that's why I think we need a healthy discussion and some finality, some closure to that. Really quick, Marshall, if you don't mind, the statistics that Rob Miller gave related to the hookups, 2,300 homes and businesses have been hooked up to the wastewater project, and only 200,000 gallons a day is being treated. That's an enormous plant and very little water. We ran pipes to farms, and the water's coming all to Broderson. The schools, is there water to irrigate? I think there's another discussion that we need to have.
Thank you. Lindy, excuse me.
Lindy Owen again. That was what I wanted to bring up, too, is the fact that it's a little, I mean, running the model again after, I think they said it had been 10 years since that data had been brought forward about how 17 inches of rain a year was what they based our incoming flow of water. And it was a very good presentation, and I think it clarified that we need to run that model again. If we're currently about halfway hooked up and we're only getting 200,000 gallons a day to Broderson, something's not as planned. We were supposed to be getting 800,000, maybe a million was originally anticipated. The plant is way oversized, and many of us already knew that. But the other issue was the repurposing of the septic tanks. It is pretty sad to see that people are going ahead and not doing that process. The only time that it would make sense to fill and slurry them is if they're in the backyard and it's too inconvenient, or if they're just damaged and leak. And then the other issue, Mr. Gibson spoke about the strings attached to the use of, I believe it was the other half of the $5 million that we've spent. Well, how in the heck do we spend the first $500,000 or half of that, $250,000? Excuse me.
$2.5 million.
My math. How did we end up spending $2.5 million before he realized that we couldn't use it for conservation? There's something really wrong there, in that our supervisor is not helping us get that money put into use, considering that our basin is in severe damage. And the one question that I'm looking forward to an answer is, how much water do we actually have in our basin, according to the new modeling, and how long will it last at current use? It's the simplest question, and it hasn't been answered yet. So I'm looking forward to hopefully some information that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindy. Yep. I still feel bad about your hiking accident. So.
But I'm getting better. I'm a lot better. I wanted to add my voice. I'm sorry, I'm Vicki Millage. From Los Osos, and I wanted to add my voice to Director Cesena's. I went to the long-form presentation in the morning, and it was an amazing amount of information. And I would encourage all of the groups and agencies in Los Osos to work very hard to get that sort of mapping. I did hear her say, in response to a question from someone else, that the helicopter is actually the most cost-effective. And I'm sure she said it at RAC as well. And if I'm going to see if I can find her presentation. And most of the slides won't be available because they haven't been published yet. And she is an academic as well as a practitioner. So she really doesn't want to see them, but the detail is fabulous. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? Oh, Lynette.
Excuse Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. On the Broderson issue, I would say that our group is phase three, and we haven't even dug our trench yet. So all of the people in phase three, there are probably some who've hooked up, but it just started on September 17th or something like that. So all the water in that whole huge group is not going to the plant quite yet. The other thing I'd like to mention is repurposing of septic tanks. We had a trench digger guy come out and inform us on what our particular situation would be. And in doing so, he told us an interesting cautionary tale of a man actually not far from where we live who had been walking across the top of his concrete septic tank. It broke and he fell in. So I think it's very important that you have someone qualified to inspect your tank carefully, because sometimes the metal supports that are put inside of the concrete decompose due to the stuff that's in the sulfuric acid and whatnot that's in the tank. So you want to be sure that your tank is sound, because if you should walk across the top and it should break and you should fall in, of course it would be better falling into water, but you still don't want to be injured. Also, I would say that tanks, I think, were supposed to, as I recall from the sewer days, they were given a lifespan of 25 to 30 years, and since building stopped in this town in 1987, I would say our tanks are probably 29 years old if they're a concrete tank and have not been replaced. So I would say just be very careful to make sure that your tank is suitable for repurposing. Thanks.
Thank you. Richard, any other comment after Richard? Okay. You're the last speaker then, Richard.
Richard Margaretson, number of things. On the consumption data in Margaret's report, we're up 3.5 million gallons for the first 3 months. That's about 11 acre feet. That's a major reason for the increase in revenue. I think it's just something we need to keep an eye on and maybe try to figure out why. That's a lot of units. With respect, it's kind of funny that now we're worried that there might not be enough water going to Broderson. The original project was 880 acre feet. That was proven to be dangerous for the community. But it is a little disturbing to me that Broderson is supposed to be the saving factor for the basin. The water going through those leach fields, recharging the upper aquifer. If they're having problems at the plant with, evaporation from the ponds, some of it going to other places, I think that discussion, when everybody's online, because if 2,300 of the properties have connected, that's well over 40%. And 200 acre feet at this point, is all that's going to Broderson? Do the numbers. When are we going to even get to the 440 that's allowed daily? Annually. On another note, I understand that, I guess, the recommendation was made to form the ad hoc committee for the rate study. I briefly talked to Marshall before the meeting, and I guess he's not going to appoint it tonight. I know there's some questions that need to be answered about the taxes and stuff, but I think the committee could be formed to do some of the other background. That's just a line item that we need to plug in up or down at the point when we start developing an idea of what were the revenue projections going to be needed. But it'd be nice if the group could get started looking at consumption numbers for the last few years, trends, projections on that, and look at the capital plan again. Get that background, because we're running into the holidays, which means we're going to lose a couple or at least 1 month probably. And if we don't get started till January, February, and it's three people trying to adjust their schedules to make these meetings and make it happen, if you want this in place, if it's going to happen by the start of the next fiscal year, I think it just needs to happen as soon as possible. Because the one my time's going to run out here. Can I just finish? The one where we were within $5,000 of the projection by the end of that fiscal year took us about 6.5 months to develop that five-member committee. So, you know, I guess my point is give us enough time, but get us started early. We can plug in those other things later. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll close public comment. Yeah, and just let me, Richard, follow up on your last comment there. I have informally appointed you, Rob, and Ron as the committee, so you guys can start working on it right now. I've talked to all three of you individually, so I'm good to go with the three of you. Okay, yeah, so we have any responses or comments? Okay, then I need a motion, please.
I have one correction to the minutes. And thank you for acknowledging that the volunteers can get started, because we don't pay them, so why not turn them loose? Let's see, on the minutes, where is that? At the very last page of the September 15th meeting, closing board comments. Director Cecilia commented on recycling his septic tank. I repurposed it. Thank you.
Okay, so with that correction, can I have a motion?
How'd you get that in the blue?
So because A is receive administrative and committee reports, I'm just going to move to approve the consent agenda with the exception of F with the minutes as amended.
And receive and file?
That's 11A. So it would be, that's what I was saying.
Okay.
It's double.
And just for the record, the Financial Advisory Committee recommended a yay on both the warrants and the register. So.
I'll second.
All right. So we have motion second. All in favor? Do we have any resolutions on here? I need a roll call. Yes, we do. Item E.
Yes.
Okay, we'll take a roll call.
Vice President Storm?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Cesani?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so with that, we'll go to general action items. Like I said, I'm going to move 11F to the top here. So if we could, you move to pull it, so I'll defer to you at this point.
Pardon?
Well, he pulled it. I want to, if he has anything to say first.
I think there's still some work to be done on this. We have a kind of an informal draft, and I think we should bring this back. I think we should. The reason I pulled it was to continue this to a later date.
Okay.
So I don't know if that.
That's where I was trying to go. What your intent was. So now, do you have any staff report to follow up on that?
I would just agree with that because we had previous direction given in closed session and. We were unable to reach agreement on all the fine points as directed. And so this would give us time to get a complete document together. And hopefully between now and then we could either reach agreement or at least know, have something that the landlord would agree to. And then you can decide, seeing the exact format in front of you, whether or not you want to agree to it.
Yeah, and just as we discussed this and on public comment, we will be holding a special meeting within the next week to 10 days. So this is not something that's going to go out for a month. It would go out to a week, 10 days, 2 weeks at the most. So so you're talking about continuing it to the next meeting, not the next regular meeting. Okay. So I guess it's basically a cleanup issue at this point. Is that what you're saying? Okay. So we'll take public comment on this item then. Okay, seeing none. So what's the motion then to continue this to the next meeting?
I move to continue this to the next special meeting or regular meeting if there is no special meeting, but there's going to be a special meeting.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Nope, unanimously. Okay, I'm going to step down on the next item because I am a candidate for election. I would just like to, before I step down, I would like to just, for informational purposes, that we have identified the community center has in their largest. Anyways, they've agreed to allow the facility to be used for a candidates forum, and we do have some dates available that the candidates are working internally to come up with some dates. And we're also working with the League of Women Voters to moderate that particular event. So the candidates were working on that. So with that, I'm going to step down so there's no... I will be back for the next item.
Okay.
I'm going to be in the next room. So. I know I'm not required to do this, but I just want to.
Okay, can we have the staff report, please, Mr. District Counsel?
Yes, a very brief staff report, which is that we did put it on the agenda because it is a proper action item for the board. As long as you don't violate either some First Amendment principles or expend public funds advancing a particular position or a particular candidate, you're free to sponsor a candidate's forum such as this.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
I guess I want to make sure that I understand what sponsoring means. It's the televising of the meeting.
Yeah, I guess there would be some expense
right.
to the district to televise that meeting.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board? Okay, I'll open this for public comment.
Julie Tacker, and I too am a candidate, but I'm going to take this opportunity to raise a concern. If sponsor means pay for AGP video, I would oppose that. If sponsor means you will run the tape on your channel at little to no cost to the district, I am fully supportive of that. Historically, the candidates are responsible for their share of all costs, whether it's renting the room, hiring the video team, if they're, you seldom would see a paid moderator, but this would be highly unusual for the district to pick up the cost of AGP video. That's never been done. The reason I thought this was on the agenda is that 2 years ago, there was some question about whether or not to use the channel and whether who was sponsoring or moderated that particular forum is what made it not available to the channel, and it ended up on YouTube. So I think if the district's going to incur some cost, then that number needs to be in front of you. I think if we check the warrants, it's $1,200 for a meeting. If you're willing to do that, historically the district's never incurred that kind of cost. And you know, sure, I appreciate it, but I don't believe in it. I think it's right. We, the candidates, have always split the cost amongst the equally amongst themselves. So my request is to get it on the channel. The logistics of it is up to the candidates.
Thank you.
Lindy Owen, I will agree that the funding issue is probably the biggest concern, because I don't think the CSD should be funding it. It isn't historical at all to do that. But I also was trying to think through, part of the problem is we're running out of time. We only have, 4 weeks left? Almost. So But my concern, maybe an idea would be if any of the service clubs would contribute some of it in order to lower the cost for each of the candidates overhead. From what I understand, it's about $1,200 for a meeting, for this size type meeting. It's more than that? $800? I'll finish my comment. First, we should know what the cost of that type of a meeting is. One other idea might be, I know it's the timing would be odd, if you were to have a special meeting that you need to have, you could do a candidates forum at the beginning of it and maybe split the cost of the filming if it went from, say, 5 to 7, and then you had any other items that you wanted to push through and move your November meeting a little bit later. It's just an idea, maybe. And then a moderator is needed, and I think the League of Women Voters is probably busy, but it's worth finding that out really quickly, too, because we're pretty far into this. So I really think a forum's important, even if it was just added on to, well, unfortunately, it should have been added on to this night's meeting, and then it could have been televised for an entire 4 weeks. But there, we do have availability of DVDs at the library. People can pick up this stuff if they're interested in seeing what the five candidates' comments are and seeing a forum. They could do it that way, too. Anyway, I encourage that we have it. I think it's really important. This is a very important election in my eyes. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindy.
Richard Margeson, I got to admit, I agree. We have financial issues with the district, if it's 1,200, if it's 800. But this brings to light an issue that I've had for a long time. The League of Women Voters, why aren't they sponsoring these throughout the county? Why aren't they collecting donations and coming forward in all of these communities and sponsor? I hate their format. I hate the way they run a forum or debate or whatever, that there's very little time for rebuttal and stuff. I just don't like. But I don't believe it should be coming out of ratepayer money for an election. I believe it either needs to come out of the candidates or an organization that advocates for free speech, when legal women voters, one of those groups. We're not talking about a lot of money from them, and I just have never understood why the league isn't sponsoring these. One of their main purposes is this type of forum. They should be doing this. The other issue is, I think it needs to happen as soon as possible. Mail-in ballots are going to be out Monday. I think the community needs to see through a forum before somebody gets elected and is sitting on the board, and then the community realizes how little a candidate who may have gotten elected knows about the district or knows about the inner workings of the CSD. I think that gets brought out in a forum like this, especially with that number of candidates and an hour and a half, 2 hour. It becomes pretty evident real quick if the right questions are asked who's knowledgeable and who isn't. And that's what this really is all about. You need people on boards who have something to present, to bring to the table, to, you know, have a background in something that can be of help to the district in the long run. I think that's what comes out of these. I think I wish there were more of them. I wish they got started earlier in every community, because you can go around the county, and there's people on a lot of these boards that you just wonder, how did they get elected? And it happens every election cycle. It happens here, it happens statewide, and it happens nationally. The good people just tend not to run anymore because of, other issues. But anyway, that's my thought on it. I hope it happens as soon as possible, if it's going to happen.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Going once, going twice. Okay, I'm going to close public comment. I just want to clarify. Once Marshall recused himself, I put this on the agenda, and I just asked that the entire range of options be presented to the board without specifying any particular one. So to the extent that it looks like somebody asked to have us pay to put it on TV or whatever, that's a misunderstanding. It was just so that when we talked about this, we had all the information in the entire range of options before us. Excuse me. So, comments?
Yeah. It sounds like a good idea, but I think for this to be done and to be fair, all the candidates who are declared ought to say, yeah, I'm going to be in this. There's no evidence that I see that they're all in it. And that's going to take days or maybe a couple weeks to sort of make that happen. Yeah. So I think it's maybe a good idea, but not feasible at this late stage, I think.
Well, to me, I mean, it is up to the candidates to get this together. I think as far as the cost, I agree that, you know, we do not pay for it. I think it's, what, $1,100 roughly? And the warrant the last month was...
The cost with AGP is approximately $1,125, but that also includes a month of ops and management for Channel 20, so it's not just all of it.
Okay. Well, whatever the cost is, you know, so it's like $200 per candidate for this forum. And I'm all in favor of letting it be on Channel 20, but it's up to them to get it rolling and move forward.
Do we want to make sure that all candidates are included or we don't televise it, that kind of thing? Because I know from what I remember a couple years ago, there was always a concern. Some people couldn't contribute, weren't able to. Somehow we had to forum. I don't know if we televised it or not. But, I mean, do we want it to be all-inclusive as a requirement, or is that something
that's part of the? I think it's part of the campaign. If they want... is part of their campaign. And if they're not here, they're not here.
Okay.
Well, I think for us to sponsor anything, it has to be absolutely neutral with respect to the candidates, and it has to be something that all of them agree to. And if somebody doesn't want to show up, that's one thing, but if it's because an agreement can't be reached on some of the particulars, to me, that's a different thing. I wouldn't want it to be like, you know, we're trying to schedule it on a day or whatever. So that's one concern. But let me ask, okay, so first, are we all agreed that we're not going to subsidize this?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so that's one issue. The second issue is, the neutrality issue. Third issue is, do we want to put it on Channel 21? And I'll just throw this out here. This is one option. It's very late in the game, and I realize the vast majority of voters vote absentee, but there is our next meeting, and we will have AGP here. And so instead of a whole $800, you have a marginal cost for more time. Just a thought. Anyway, and then so... No. So...
I think... Part of the problem is our next meeting is like a week before the election.
Yeah, that's
so
what I was saying.
To me, I think, it goes back to our role here is to say, sure, you can go ahead and use Channel 20. We'll put it on Channel 20, but they have to set it up, pay for it. All we're doing is agreeing to Channel 20.
Right. Yeah, I think that's fair. We step back from any of the arrangements and let them make that happen.
But I would like to expressly stipulate that it has to be an agreement between all of the candidates. It can't be that three of them agree and two of them are in disagreement.
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
They all agree to it, and they all agree to it within a reasonable amount of time, so it actually has an impact on the process.
Well, but then
that's not up to us. I mean, if they want to have it late in the game, they can have it late in the game. That's not.
I don't like the idea that if you have one candidate that doesn't believe in it, that they're going to kill the entire forum.
No, that's not the point. The point isn't that they would kill it by, you know.
If they say no, then you're saying there's no forum. I think let them work it out. All we're doing is saying you can use Channel 20.
Well, then if it's put on a date where somebody can't be there, then.
Well, that's happened.
Yeah.
That's happened before. Again, I go back to all we're doing is.
Then that's a disadvantage to that candidate.
Yeah. I mean, what we're saying here is you can use Channel 20, you pay for it. Fine. And I do thank the community center for the largesse.
Well, the recommendation is that they specify, you know, that we specify a date or time and place or choose a format. I don't think we need to do that.
No.
But I think you have, I mean, to me, I understand you don't want one person to just be able to filibuster it, but how do you avoid?
Well, it's their decision. I mean, it's not, you know, I.
Okay, so
if they don't want to show up, that's.
But hypothetically, if we get an agreement, let's say we get an agreement from three people and the other two people don't agree to it.
Well,
two agree to something else. Who do we pick?
If the three want to split the 11-25, they can split the 11-25.
Can you say that again?
If you have three people that want to participate, they can split the 11-25. You know, let's not get hung up on one person not wanting to come or two. I mean, again, it's the candidate's decision to go forward.
It's not about the wanting to go or not that bothers me. It's about everybody except one or two people getting forced into a date or a format. You know, in every political campaign, the candidates agree or they don't agree on something.
Yeah. I mean,
you don't just have it with.
They have to work it out. I mean, let them work it out. If they want to decide we're all in, we're all out, that's up to them.
No, but you're saying that if some of them agree, that we would still put it on our air.
Well. If that's the decision of the candidates, I'm not going to. Yeah, I don't think we're going to have, like, if we have two agree that, I mean, that's ridiculous to have two out of five. You know, I think that's ridiculous. But I think, you know, if you have three, four, you're in good shape. Let the public decide. I mean, it's up to the. They're presenting themselves to the public. If they want to do it, they'll do it. So are you looking for direction on this, a motion or a consensus or what?
Yeah. We're supposed to, let's see, what's recommended? Direction? Board discussion and provide direction.
Yeah, I think the safest way to provide direction would be a motion, a second, and a vote.
Okay, is there a motion?
Well, I'll make a motion that we allow candidate forum to use our Channel 20 and have it broadcast on Channel 20, but again, the cost and the arrangement is solely borne upon the five candidates.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Yes. If we're going to sponsor it like that officially, and then only three candidates participate, we're basically, by that non-action, setting up something that isn't fair to the voter and the candidates.
I'm going to go back to what I said before. It's up to each individual candidate. If they want to participate, they can. If they don't
want to. What if they can't pay?
Well, then they have to work that out amongst the candidates.
Okay, let's have a vote.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
No.
Vice President Storm?
No. Queso.
So that means that no sponsorship of the forum?
Well, no. We can still keep talking about it.
Okay.
Until we come to a.
Yeah, we're having a special meeting soon. If we hear that all five are on board for a certain date,
let's
make it happen.
We can still talk about it now.
Yes. Right?
Okay. So.
Again, oh, sure. I'll entertain another motion, but I mean,
I think we should have a forum. I think we should have it as soon as possible. I just think that if we're going to have any imprimatur on it at all, it has to be as neutral as possible from us. It shouldn't favor candidates with more resources. It shouldn't favor candidates with, you know, that are unemployed versus those who are employed. What if somebody wants to schedule it during somebody else's work time? And then, I mean, that's just, I think there has to be an agreement between all five people, and if they can't reach that and one of them is filibustering, then, you know.
Well, yeah.
Bring that up in the election.
Well, I go back to my original premise on the motion. All I'm saying is that we are going to allow them to work it out, and we will support using of Channel 20, airing it on Channel 20. How it works out,
how about
it's not fair or unfair on our side. All we're doing is allowing them to be on the channel. It's up to them to work it out.
How about this? How about we get something at the special meeting that is agreed on everything, and then by then we can approve or disapprove what the candidates come up with based on what they agree to.
At best, you're losing a week for the special meeting, okay? They need time to make a decision, and I think that it's incumbent upon us to make a decision tonight because we're way into the election. Like pointed out, we're a month away from the general election. Ballots are out for absentee ballots are out. It's fish or cut bait time for us. Either we say yes, they can use the facility, or not. We've got to do it tonight.
Well, I'm not so sure about that because the forum should happen regardless of whether it's televised or not.
Well,
it's still an event that is valuable to the community. So they can be setting up logistics and getting that underway. And by the time they have that all together, then we'll have a special meeting and know if we're on board with televising it or not. But the forum should move ahead anyway. And by the time they have their logistics together,
that's a valid point. I accept that point. I mean, if they go ahead and we definitely have to put it on our special meeting agenda, and we should know. I don't know how we're going to get that communicated to us. Is it the candidates are going to let us know?
Put it on the agenda at the next special meeting, and either they have an agreement to us or they don't.
Okay,
Mr. Chair,
fine by me.
Sure.
Yes, Ms. Director Tarnowski.
Basically, we have the majority of the candidates in this building right now. Why don't they go caucus and tell us what they want?
But we don't have all of them.
No, we don't. Yeah,
that's right. It's the ones in the hospital, right?
That's right.
Correct.
No,
so
let them.
Yeah.
I think we move on.
That's what I'm trying.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. I think we should just be planning on having it on the agenda. And
okay, so can we give a consensus that we'll...
I can go along with the motion on that we, you know, encourage the candidates to come up with a decision and a consensus by the time we have our special meeting.
And if somebody is legitimately unable to attend on the date that's proposed, that's one thing. But if it's just a thing where they're not willing, then I think it needs to go forward. But we can't tell that right now. I can't...
No, we don't. They have to let us know.
Okay. So do we need a motion, or is that consensus?
No, there's no motion necessary. We'll have it on the next agenda.
Thank you.
Get that guy back in here.
Mr. President.
We will get together before the special meeting and have a report.
Okay.
All right, so, sorry. That will take us to 12B.
I'm losing my bet on the time length of the meeting here. So we have a discussion and potential action regarding support for naming the nearby hill Los Osos Peak. So can we have a staff report on that?
I think the title of the item says it all. I don't have anything to add.
Okay. So, do we have any questions on this?
My only concern is that it's not the highest mountain around here. I want Los Osos Peak to be the tallest, but I guess it's too
late
for that.
All the tall ones have taken.
It's too late for that. So, other than that, I don't really
Madonna,
have
Madonna and Cerro San Luis already got that.
Right, they've already taken up.
Anybody have any comments on this?
For the public?
Okay, we'll close public comment and bring it back. I do have a comment. I'm not going to vote in favor of this, not that I'm opposed to it, but I just think it's outside our purview. So
well,
that's my only comment.
My comment on that is that I agree in that sense, but it's also a community desire. It's been expressed. I think we can encourage that. And just the resolution of support is all we're asking for.
I just want to say real quick that I think this is a slippery slope where you can get involved in.
Is it that steep of a hill?
Pun intended.
And he's leaving the board. How are we going to? It's a slippery slope because there are things that, in my time and I'm sure in the past, you get called on to make this resolution or that resolution, but this isn't really in anybody else's wheelhouse, so to speak. Yeah. And to the extent that we're saying we want this for our town, there's really no other elective body that's only elected by Los Osos. So I think that's different than maybe, say, asking for our opinion on, you know, the glacier depletion in the Sierra or something. So for me, I'm trying to not slide down that slippery slope. And there's a few more things I kind of wish we would know about this, but I'm in support of it. I think No Name Hill doesn't serve us.
No, and I appreciate what you're saying. It's just I know when I was served on the board in the past, we were asked to take positions on things like, well, the Berkeley City Council took positions on this, so why aren't we? And that's the slope I don't want to go down. So, yeah, Lou.
Look, the peak is sitting there nameless. Why not take a stab at it? Come on.
Yeah, we're not spending any resources. I don't think we're going to have to draft a letter to USGS or whoever you...
Department of Interior.
Department of Interior.
Which we know is a lifelong process.
If anybody wants to push the rock up that hill, even though it's not a steep hill.
Somewhere.
All right, so we're going to direct staff to write a letter. Is that what we want to do here?
Yes.
Yes.
To the appropriate body.
So yes. So we'll have staff write a letter. I guess I'll sign it as the board president. And so all in favor? It's a unanimous, no discussion on this.
Yeah.
All right. So yes. Just get the letter. I'll get it signed. I think that Stanfield was the one who first brought to our attention. Was
mm-hmm. Yes.
Jim. So yeah. So whatever. Find out from wherever this needs to go. But I would assume it's Department of Interior.
There are GPS coordinates that they actually Rob Miller put together.
Yeah.
So
yes.
We do have.
Well, it's in his backyard. That's why he brought it up. I know.
Oh.
All right. We then move to future agenda items.
I just wanted to add to the discussion about the property tax. I'd also like to know what's involved. And again, I think I know the answer when I ask the what's involved question in collapsing our AB8 splits into one line item for Los Osos CSD, just like the other CSDs have one line item.
We inherited all those.
As opposed to all of these zones that go back to the county service area.
Yeah, the zones of benefit that we were already in existence when the CSD was formed.
As far as I could find, and I'm not going to pretend I did exhaustive research, that we're the only ones in the state that I could find where we have these bizarre splits.
No, there's other ones. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't find them. I didn't do an exhaustive search. But to me, it's unwieldy. It's misleading. But I know that property tax splits, I know it's not going to be an easy lift, but I'd like to see if we can explore that and wrap it all into one discussion so that we don't keep coming back at this issue every single time we want to talk about.
No, combining all the zone of benefits would be something, but I can tell you that's a very, very involved process.
Yes, that's what I was afraid of. But we should we should at least decide not to do it on the basis of the amount of work involved instead of just we don't want to tackle that.
I wish the camera had been on Ann's face when you mentioned 88 different.
I think the main thrust in this thing is from my point of view is that as a board, even though all these little tax areas are there, what can we as a board decide to do in aggregate?
I think that's where we need legal direction to Roy to take a look at that and get back to us. So.
I have something too, future agenda. We talked about it briefly before, is on the CERT team as far as the work comp like to see that brought forward.
That. Right.
And also one other item, I think it's now time that we have a discussion about the Wastewater Disputed Reserve Fund 3161, because that's the unclaimed money from the bankruptcy.
I agree with that.
We have $103,000 in there.
I think we've gone past the
deadline,
the outer deadline on that.
Yeah, we have, I believe.
Yeah, so I think it's time to decide, you know, have a discussion about what we're going to do with that $103,000. God knows we can use it.
Yep. Okay. Any other future items? Okay. Closing comments. Lou, we'll start with you.
Fire Safety Fair, Saturday, 11 to 3, I believe, in the parking lot out in front of Rite Aid. Bring all the kids. All the equipment will be there. All the firefighters will be there, and some of us.
Sparky and Smokey will both be there.
Yeah. Together.
Which
I'd like
one
also,
are you
gonna be? Also emphasize the safety fair. I'll repeat it again, this Saturday, the 8th, 11 to 3 p.m. at the Rite Aid parking lot. Just make sure it gets out there. And also, as mentioned before.
Do they have a Jaws of Life demonstration?
They do. That's coming in. Yeah, yeah. And if you leave your car overnight, it might get picked. And the other thing, too, I think, is going back to the repurposing of the septics, I think, I'm not sure how we can get the word out, but having a 25% hit ratio on people repurposing is pretty low. It's pretty sad, actually. And I'm not sure, you know, who can push that more. I look at the county, but that doesn't seem to fall in deaf ears. That's all I have. Thank you.
That's why I keep bringing it up. You're not going to push the fire safety fair from 11 to 3 on Saturday with the Jaws of Life?
And the fire safety fair.
They'll have the smokehouse.
No, I would like to reiterate that one thing, though, that did come up in the chief's report about, and that I piggybacked on, about when you do connect your laterals, you do have to be up to current codes, and current codes do require smoke detectors in each bedroom.
And carbon monoxide.
Well, outside, detectors. Yeah. In the, it's yeah
inside
in, yeah, so it's an important thing that I think people need to be aware of, that the smoke detectors is a critical issue. Yes. Yeah. So I think that's an important thing. But yes, fire safety fair, and we will be having a special meeting, I believe, next week. I will get the information out as soon as we schedule it. That's it. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Four minutes over.